Oh, hey. I hope things are coming along nicely in your garden. Here's a conversation between me and my friend Marianne Wilburn about our upcoming trip to England to see a bunch of wonderful gardens. You're listening to Into the Garden with Leslie, the podcast with no sponsor breaks, but lovely music from my friend Rusty Gear. And here you have Marianne Wilburn and me confabulating on gardens, travel, and garden travel. Marianne Wilburn needs no introduction, and so I'm not going to give her one. Here's our introduction. We both have big buckets of wine.
Oh, you just saw mine, did you?
Cheers, big ears.
Cheers.
And big ears is literal because she does have her Minnie Mouse headset on.
I have to tell you, my daughter just made me a beautiful dinner. It was so sweet. And I said, I've got to run. I'm heading up stairs for that podcast, and I glugged some wine into a glass, and she goes, are you really going to take that upstairs to a podcast? What if you embarrass yourself? Nobody can see me. And until Leslie tells them all how much I'm drinking.
You obviously didn't explain about the particular podcast that you would be on, which is where kind of this is the point.
No, she's 22. We are so old, Leslie. I mean, I'm not even sure why we're still here. she doesn't understand any of this.
She doesn't get it.
No.
So we're going to talk about travel today, and we're going to talk about travel that you took, and we do want to hear a little bit about Belize, but mostly we just get jealous. So keep it quick, but also what you did to get ready for your garden, what you saw when you came back. And then let's talk about the trip that we're going to take together and what we're going to do for our garden then. So listeners, you're going to sit, or you're going to stay in your garden, or you're going to walk your dog while you listen to this. You might be folding laundry, but you're going to travel. You're going to travel in your mind. So, right?
Yes, I can do that. I think I can keep it very brief. I think that when you are in any aspect of horticulture and you go away anywhere, even when it is an absolute bona fide vacation, it's always tough to completely get away, right? Because you're always looking at plants.
Yeah.
And thinking, oh, I should take a picture of that. But I locked my phone in the safe in my room.
Wow.
So that not only could no one else get it, I could not get it. Not that I need to do that. I do have a little self-control. And I didn't have it for 7 days. And so I read a book that I really needed to read for a project I'm working on.
Is that getting away though? If you're reading a book for a project that you're working on for work, I contest my problem with that.
Yes. But if you're putting off something of reading something because you haven't done it because all the other bits of work are getting in the way, it was pleasurable reading. How about that?
Okay.
That's a difficulty, Leslie. I mean, this is very pleasurable what we do. We've just figured out to make it really intensely unpleasurable sometimes in the middle of the sun and all the stuff you have to do with gardening. But it's a wonderful, wonderful discipline. And so,
is it a book that you would have ordinarily, you would have read it anyway?
Probably. It was a. You're going to laugh, and then you're going to make fun of me.
Well, so isn't that also the point of this podcast? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's a book I'm working on for something else, for another project and thoughts. And it's a book of Petrarch's letters. Oh. He was a 14th century. Well, you know who Petrarch was, I'm sure.
Only very vaguely. Yeah. You can
so it was
me.
His letters. And I'm a huge, huge fan of letters. I think going through history, I think it's one of the best ways that we can understand the people who came before us is not by what was written about them, but what they wrote themselves. Mm. Wow, that sounded very profound.
Yeah,
I should
yeah.
write that down. Hold on.
Quickly, before you forget.
Before this tub of wine stops me from remembering. But anyway, this wasn't about Petrarch, but making yourself sit down and really think about something is really hard to do when your attention is going 15 different ways. And that has a lot to do with the devices in our hands, right?
Mm, oh, yes. Oh yes. And you know, you've heard that line. Well, I went to look at my phone to see what time it is. And then I went to Instagram. But wait, I got a text. Ooh, on the calendar tomorrow, I should change that to 3:45. And then in terms of time, there goes a half an hour of it. The time thing that you were looking for, it's gone.
Yeah, that was what this was a gift of time. It was fantastic. And to be able to see so many plants growing joyously, plants that I work with here in a very different way, these tropicals, not just some of the very big foliage plants, but a lot of the tropical color that's down there. And that was wonderful to see. And then to visit ruins and sort of go back into my archaeological days mentally. And
Who built the stuff originally? Belize. I'm not
Mayan, the Mayan culture.
Mayan.
Yeah,
Yay.
the Mayan culture, sort of in its heyday, sort of 600 BC to 600 AD, heyday, classic period. I'm not going to get any of that right, but it's, I mean, come on, it's been 25 years since I was.
No, it's only been 1 week. It's been
Yeah.
1 week since you were there
Yeah.
last. Yeah. And
That's
they,
right.
yeah.
So, but then having these two worlds come together, the archaeology and botany, which nobody else was that interested in, besides when my husband said, "Oh, these fruits taste good. What's that? Can we grow it?" Otherwise, it was, yeah, it was a great trip. It was a complete break, and we really needed that.
Oh, and did you prep hard to get your garden ready to go, or did you think, hey, it's April, it will rain, the sun is not out too much, we're good here?
It actually was a good month to go away for me for April because things are cooking in the greenhouse and seedlings are, many of them, just starting to germinate. So as long as they're being watered a little bit, and my daughter was good enough to stay here for
Aw,
that
that's
time.
sweet.
And well, she was good enough to do it for a fee. I mean, she's not stupid.
Okay, you're cool.
Never can I take advantage of my children. But that made it a very good time to get away. Now, this period that we're about to go into, this is more challenging.
Not good. Okay, so this will be the last, basically the last 9 days of May, correct?
Well, it is for you, but I'm leaving next Wednesday,
Oops.
because I'm going to, yeah, because I'm going to see some other gardens. I'm going to go visit some friends and do a bit of garden recon for some future trips. And it means that I'm going to be away from my garden for 2.5 weeks in May. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a big ask.
So is
So
daughter helping on that front, or will Michael? How will that work?
Michael is going to, and he's going to do some watering, and as any gardener knows, it's not just about water. It's about, well, these plants can't take much water. Keep them dry. These plants need to be very wet. These plants need to be somewhere in between. These have gone into the ground, so make sure that they're well watered every day. And depending on the rain, this is all stuff that, if you're a beginning gardener and or even an intermediate gardener, and this is going through your head, you graduated into the next level in figuring out what needs what and how does it need it. And my husband has not graduated.
We're waiting for him to matriculate to the
He
school of
is.
actual gardening.
That's right. But bless his heart, at least, he's trying. Because of that, I think any gardener has to really look at what they've got going on if they're going away anytime, whenever they're going away, and figure out what is the best strategy. Look at it as a strategic sort of exercise. And for me, I've got a lot of tropicals in the greenhouse, aka the big cold frame, unheated, and many of them could happily have another 2 weeks really building heat.
Inside there.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
could. Yeah, they could. I mean, even a week and a half, they could just keep building body so that they're really, really strong. Because I don't heat my greenhouse, so I could have done that earlier if I was heating it, but I don't. And so I have to look at those plants and say, okay, well, those can go into the garden right now. and they'll be okay. They're going to be okay. They've put on a good amount of body. They could have more, but they're going to be fine. But then others, if I put them into the garden right now, into cold soil, I mean, it's hot as heck. What are your temperatures outside right
We got
now?
90 today.
We did too. And so temperatures are high, soil is still cold. And that's important. I think gardeners forget about soil temperatures. And so things can just sort of sit there going, what the hell is this strange temperate climate you've put me in?
I don't understand.
Yes. And so those guys, you know, that are say maybe 6 inches tall, some of my turmerics, a few of my canna, Faison is just sort of not phasing right now. Those I'm just going to leave in a completely opened up greenhouse so that they can at least get extra heat during the day.
Okay.
And I'm going to pray that Michael knows how to use a watering can on those. They're
Yeah.
not going to go in. But I put a bunch of them in today. I put a bunch of the others in today. The bananas went in today. What else? Well, the alocasia went in.
But here's the rub with that. Now they're in. And Michael doesn't have to water them because they're out, but Michael might have to water them because they're in. I mean, you just transplanted them and okay, it's Thursday. You leave on Wednesday, just less than a week. Are you going to put the okay line in the sand in terms of planting things that you're not going to be able to find for Michael, or you're afraid he's not going to be able to find them after you leave, that he has to point the hose at a newly transplanted item? Are you going to stop at some point?
I can make it even harder. We don't have a hose.
No hoses at your house, huh? Let me tell you, they're actually really,
No, we have hoses up by the
they're such
house.
handy gardening tools. You know, you buy them at Lowe's and stuff. They're great.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta look into that. No, I am 100% on collected water down by the barn. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8 rain barrels. So I'm living on the margins, baby.
Oh.
This is why you really do need to buy my book if you haven't, because I am living your life. Nothing is ideal in my life, and I still grow these plants. But the strategy here is that the tropicals that needed more water that I could put outside, I put into different places in the hugel culture bed, and that stays a lot wetter,
Moisture. Yeah.
moister. I was trying to get away from saying moister. It's just
Oh,
such a
yeah, it does sound funny. More moist. Is there a
moister,
word moisture? I don't,
more
moisture
moist.
kind of
Oh,
rhymes with
now
toaster.
we've said the word way too many times already.
Let's move on.
Okay. And the alocasia actually wants to be on the drier side. So not dry, dry, but on the drier side. It's not a colocasia. I haven't figured out what to do with the colocasia yet. My instinct is to throw them into the tubs that I put together for the lilies because guess what? My pond has sprung a leak just a
Oh.
week before I was leaving. So I had to rescue those, or I did rescue those plants, put them into these big tubs. And I may just sink the colocasia into those tubs so that they
Oh.
are guaranteed. When I come back, it's going to be an almighty mess, but at least they'll be alive.
Okay.
So again, strategies, right?
Yeah, another one I was going to mention is that I group pots, containers, and I unfortunately do have containers sitting under eaves at this place, so I'm gonna have to scooch them out so Jeff doesn't have to be so he won't think to himself, "Huh, it rains, so I don't have to do anything." No, actually, you would if I hadn't scooched these out. And you also can really save whoever is watering a whole lot of trouble by just taking those ones that you love to have baking in the sun, if they're portable enough, to put them in the shade. And for the few weeks that you're gone, that sun-loving plant is going to be like, okay, this is not ideal, but whatever, and won't dry out nearly as fast. And to group them, I used to do it when I had so many containers back at the other house. I did it in groups like these every other day, these every fourth day, you know, and so they were sort of compatible companions in terms of what they needed, because there was just no way I was teaching our friend Lucian what to do. And actually, Jeff's maybe one step ahead of him, which is to say they are not anywhere near what Michael is. They know nothing except what I tell them. So you got to be
No,
organized.
I think that's where Michael is.
Yeah, Does Michael listen to these podcasts? Sorry, Michael.
No, not a chance. Let's go ahead. Let the rubbishing begin.
Yeah, throw him under that bus.
No, I'm very thankful to him for doing that. And you're right. Again, this is strategies. And this is what you've got to employ when you go away, because we do need to go away. And
Yes.
yeah, maybe you don't need to go away like me for 3 weeks in May. I'm an idiot, but I have very, very dear friends I want to see. And I want to make sure that everything is perfect for you, Leslie, before you get into the UK and I move you around the country looking at gardens. But the chances are that you've got some grandkids you want to see, or you want to go take your children to the beach, or you want to go and do what everybody else does in the summer and get the heck away from all of the ties that bind you to home and hearth. And this is something that gardeners go through every year. And I think because of, and I didn't mention this in my post today on Garden Rant, but
Oh, tell the listeners. So, Marianne writes for Garden Rant, and today she wrote a post on this very topic of how to get away. I can't remember. You had a clever title for it that escapes me. Do you remember?
I think it was just
Beach or
I don't know,
beets?
everybody, oh, Beans or Beach. No, that was
Yeah,
an
Beans or
article I
Beach.
wrote many years ago, and I was just sort of going back to that article and mentioning it in this one, but it's just, everybody needs a vacation, even as gardeners. And I'm recognizing this more as I get older, because you've got more seasons under your belt, and you have, at this point in your life, lost a few people, and you realize how precious that time is with
Yeah.
people in your life, and that you can't get it back. And I also have some friends that are very, very ill, and you're just recognizing that every moment is precious. And so if you're saying, well, I can't go and see my mother because the peonies are blooming and I really worked on getting those peonies to do just this right thing at this right time, then you're sort of missing the point of this whole life journey. And yes, it is about the peonies, but the reality is, again, after many seasons doing this, the peonies are probably going to be there next year. But are you going to have be in the same place that you could actually go and travel? Could you make that happen? And are you the people that you wanted to see there? So anyway, that's what I wanted to get across today, because the trip that you and I are going on, I think I had four people, Andrea can correct me, but I had four different gardeners who really, really wanted to go.
Oh.
And then when they saw the itinerary, and then when they realized when it was like, oh no, May, I'm out.
Oh. Oh, what a
And
shame.
I know, and you know what, honestly, I probably would have been more, and I mean, I completely understand, but after your and my trip to Dexter and that spontaneous decision, I hate to bring it back to Dexter. Every single time we talk, we discuss Dexter. I've got to stop doing that, but
It was life-changing for us, but also so, oh, listeners, and maybe this person is listening, and shoot, I should have written down her name, but we got the most delightful email saying, I listened to you and Marianne talking about this thing that you did, and I got on the list and I got the offer with very little time to spare, and off I go. What do you think? I'm so excited and so grateful that I knew that there was this opportunity, and I knew that two people had done it before. I'm sure many more than Marianne and I have done it. That was the best email, and I should look up your name. Do you remember it? You
I, was it Lois? I feel like it was
maybe
a
it did start
Lois.
with an L. It was the cutest email. It just made my
It,
day.
because I was going through email, and you're just going through everything,
As you
and
got
then
back,
all of a
yeah.
sudden this wonderful, yes, oh my gosh, yes, jump at it, carpe diem.
Yeah.
Because what you and I did was a little different than, like, I'm booked actually to go out to Dexter for the February pruning seminar
You
next year,
did.
which, yes,
Sounds
because,
cold. Sounds really cold.
don't even think I'm not going to give you a lot of hell about not even thinking about that one.
Would never go to that.
I
I'll
think
go to
I'm
Florida, baby.
I am really looking forward to it. And it's in the future. But you and I just decided, you know what? There's 2 weeks, 1 week free. I could do that. And we did it.
And I think Michael was influencing you, but in my case, I said, no, oh no, can't do that, can't do that. I was still running the business at the time. Absolutely can't do that. And Jeff was like, oh no, you can. And here's how you can. And here's why you can. And here's why you should. While he's on a golf course between holes, he's like, blah, 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 blah. I'll fix
That's
this.
very
This will
cool.
work, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh man, I love this guy.
Yeah, you got to stick with that guy.
He's pretty good.
I mean, in the old, I mean, 20 years ago, Michael would have said, how are you going to swing that? But he, you know, he was very supportive of it.
Good.
But it still took some swinging, didn't it? And the payback was so great. And let me just tell the listeners, I don't know what the peonies looked like that year in my garden. And I don't care.
We saw that Bartzella, though. Remember, there was that
Oh,
magical
yes, we did.
Bartzella. Guess what I inherited here at the tiny garden bowling alley? A Bartzella.
Let's talk Bartzella for a minute.
I think of Great Dixter every time I see this thing, and it's right out my bedroom window. Bartzella is an Ito peony. It's huge. It's yellow. It's magical. I don't know if I would have chosen it, but boy, am I glad to have it.
Itomini, a cross between a tree peony and a herbaceous peony.
Blooms pretty late.
It's beautiful yellow, crazy doubles, gorgeous. Bought it in bloom, so I know it's capable, and planted it, and I have not ever had a bloom out of it. And I think, and there's plenty of sun. It's been 4 years now, but
Oh.
I was at Janet Draper's from Smithsonian Garden, from the Ripley Garden here in D.C. last week. We're discussing this, and she goes, "Did you plant it too deep?"
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm usually really good at not planting too deep, but I thought, well, there's a possibility it got mulched and I wasn't paying attention, you know. And so I went back and it is a little deeper than I thought it was. And so I'm thinking maybe that's what's going on. So, you know, iris and peony, iris
Yep.
definitely, you know, they'll live,
Oh,
but
sure.
they won't
They're too
bloom.
happy. They're like, we're just fine down here. We're going to set up lots of foliage.
This is soil. It's moist. I like this. I don't need to put out anything. So yeah, Bartzella has been a great disappointment to me, but
Aww.
I've probably been a disappointment to it.
I'll
So
send you
anyway.
photographs to make you jelly of mine, which I totally inherited, don't have anything to do
So thank you. Well, at
with.
least I got your yellow hellebore in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone completely off topic, and the point was, the spontaneity is exciting and fun. And speaking as somebody who has left their garden in May and figured it out, that season is just like another season. And you, yes, it's a beautiful thing and it's wonderful, but seeing a May in another place, or seeing a June in another place, or a July or an August in another place, gives you ideas and it gives you energy, and we all need energy, Leslie. We all need energy.
Know, another cup of coffee, we're good. Do you want to talk about some of the places and why you chose them and what they're like, what you know about them?
Yes, sure. L let's do that. Shall I open up your little packet that I just was putting
Yes, please.
together
I'm looking at a
today?
cute little red book that I'm going to receive
Oh, you
as I'm a
are.
patron on this tour.
And look at this. Look at this. This
It's a
is
paper
an
map.
actual paper map
So quaint.
with your high. Oh, hey, if I catch you looking at this, I'm going to
I'll
shame
be
you.
looking. I'll be looking.
Okay, yeah, because you don't have to look at your phone. You could go phone free and just have this, right? This is, and it is interesting with maps. You know, I use Google Maps as much as the next person, and I have no sense of direction, as you'll find out on this trip.
Thank God we have a coach driver.
Thanks, right? And Andrea, because she does. But a paper map, it just orientates you. You look at it, oh, I see. Okay, so Oxfordshire is there, and Gloucestershire is there, and Wiltshire is there, and Somerset's there. And yeah, it's good.
Okay.
You've got that. I also gave you this. It's a little cheat sheet. It's a little bookmark that's a Celsius Fahrenheit, because I know you don't
Hey, I'm
use
the one
one.
who lived in Australia for a year. I got this.
Oh, you've got that. Okay,
Yeah.
fair enough. That's there. But yes, we are going to start out at Chelsea,
Okay.
which is going to be all the things that Chelsea was when you and I were there, which is
Too
busy
much. Too
and
much.
ex too much
Fast.
exciting And hopefully, good weather. UK has had one of its, if not its, rainiest season, winter, spring, and fall, a little bit of fall too, in decades. It's just unbelievable how much rain they've gotten. So that could be a great thing for pushing the season off a little bit. It could be a bad thing for funguses and disease and that type of thing. But it also, it'll be very, very interesting to see how they're coping, and hopefully it'll all stop the minute we get there, right? No
What do you look
rain.
forward to seeing at Chelsea more now? The planned gardens, the plots that people have put together, or walking into that big marquee and looking at, oh my God, the iris display, or
The Great Pavilion.
thank you, the Great Pavilion, and you're looking at, I can't remember if it's one grower puts out a gazillion irises or they get a gazillion growers to do all irises. How is that organized?
Often it's just a nursery that has a booth there,
Okay.
and they'll be clematis, there'll be iris, there'll be daffodils, there'll be bulbs, there'll be. Do you remember that wonderful, wonderful booth last year? And I cannot remember the name of the grower, but they're known for a lot of rare plants, and they had all those Mechanopsis in the
Yes,
alpine garden.
yes. They look fake. Yeah.
They do. They look fake because we don't know how to grow them because we can't.
Those are the blue poppies, everybody. And yeah, they're just like a mythical plant. It's like the unicorn. It exists somewhere, but not for us.
Yeah, and truly blue, like blue, not the way that we say blue, that's blue in American words, then it's really purple, but an actual blue. So it's about seeing, like, remember that Allium? Did you see the Allium booth? That was just every allium that you could ever imagine. And I just sat there going, okay, I'll be needing to get that one and that one and that one. So I really like that part of the show a lot because it allows me to see plants grown at their finest, not just in a catalog, but in front of them. And there's other
Okay.
bits and pieces in there. David Austin Rose usually has their roses everywhere. And
Smells pretty good in there, as I recall.
it smells pretty good in there. And it's usually not as crowded as the avenue where everybody is looking at all of the different show gardens. And so that's always, elbows, 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 elbows. And sorry, sorry, sorry. Just which is how the British managed to get around people by just butting into them and then saying sorry. And I
Sorry.
am actually sorry for whoever I'm offending right now. And you know what? I can say that. I'm half British. I've got two passports. It's very rude to push somebody and say sorry.
As if that there's atonement in your sorry. No,
Sorry. Sorry.
don't
I
do
just knocked you to the ground. Sorry.
that.
I'm saying that because of Noises Off. That was a big thing. You remember that play, Noises
Yeah,
Off? That's going to take us off.
I remember the name.
Yeah.
Let's not go to Broadway on this one. Oh, but I do want to mention, speaking of a little theatrical, so I'm reading the itinerary that Marianne and Andrea have worked up, and they talk about Chelsea, and they're like, it's crowded, lots of food and drink vendors there. If you get tired, fine, you can leave, but you can't come back in. And then it goes, maybe too many drink vendors, maybe too many.
Possibly. I think champagne tent is a good idea, and
Well, since the Pimm's cocktail was a bust 3 years ago, we tried to
yes,
get a little buzz on, but it didn't work out.
I have to say I was disappointed in the Pimm's last year just because for the price it was horrendously
Non
unalcoholic,
boozy.
non-boozy, but that's okay. I'll buy you a Pimm's there because everybody has to have a Pimm's. Should we explain what that is? We should.
Sure. It's a drink with very little alcohol in it. What else is it?
Oh, no, not if you're doing it right. No,
Okay.
it is Pimm's number one cup, which is a secret recipe. Number one is gin based, and they have other sort of this is vodka based, this is whiskey based, but we really stick to Pimm's number one, which you can usually get in the liquor store. And so you see that Pimm's bottle and you've never known what to do with it, Pimm's. You take it, you grab a pitcher, you have some friends over who are thirsty and a little hot, and want to drink. You'd sort of mix that pitcher like you'd mix a big glass, right? And you
Okay.
put about, I don't know, a third of the Pimm's bottle on the bottom. Then you spike it with gin.
Because the PIMS has alcohol, or does the PIMS
Oh
have alcohol?
yeah. No, it has alcohol,
Okay, so
but not enough, Leslie.
the mixer is gin. Okay,
No,
I'm down.
the mixer is gin, and then you put in what we would say lemon lime soda, 7-Up, but what the Brits say lemonade, their
Lemonade.
lemonade. Yeah, and then you throw some strawberries in, and some sliced cucumber and some mint, and you have got something to really. It is the ultimate summer cocktail. When you start drinking that at the beginning of sort of end of spring, beginning of summer, the season is definitely started.
Okay. All
So
right.
we got to make sure that everybody's had that.
We'll do that. And are you tracking any of the star qualities of the, what do you call them? The show gardens? Are you like, oh, so we got to go see
Oh,
so
what
and
am I
so?
going to see right now?
Yeah.
No, I'm not tracking it at the moment.
We'll have to study up.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think they haven't been talking
Announced.
about it. Yeah, they haven't. Well, no, they're announced. They're there. You can
Oh.
actually go on to the RHS website and you can look at what the briefs are for the gardens, so you can
Oh
see them.
wow.
But
Okay.
as the weeks go on, there well, we don't have many left, but
Yeah.
they'll be talking to the gardeners on the RHS podcast, and what are they going to do and how's it going to go. And so it's fun to have a, you don't have to do a lot of homework, but you want to do a little bit so that when you see something, you go, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
So when you
All right.
elbow your way up, sorry, then you can, oh, that's what they were talking about. So that's Chelsea.
That's Chelsea, but wait, we have like 10 more gardens and we don't have that much time. So
Oh my
let's,
goodness.
I know time flies when you're with Marianne because she's
Sorry.
so much fun, so much
Sorry.
fun. Sorry. I want to talk. There's only one that I know well that is on
Okay.
this list, and I want you to talk about three or four more. But Jeff
Okay.
and I had a really good visit to Blenheim, which has that wonderful Blenheim Palace was a gift for the to the Duke of Marlborough because he really came up well in the Battle of Blenheim and the War of Spanish Succession, lo those many years ago, I think early 18th century. And so he gets a house. Apparently, a king or queen went by in later years and said, "What, wait? Like, this is better than anything we have." But the Duke of Marlborough, he fought hard, he got a good house. Interesting in that it had tons of formal gardens, and some of them were let go or added to in a way that is so not formal. So it is an Italianate garden. It has a rose garden, I think. And then Capability Brown came onto the scene. So now it's a landscape, and he employed hundreds of men to put in full-grown trees and bridges. And let's just dig here with no, mechanical capabilities whatsoever. Capability said, "No, you 100 men will now dig me a pond," and they did. And it is beautiful. It's a fun. It's a really great combination of those two things. Not to mention a kick-ass palace.
And one of the best mazes in England, one that you can properly get lost in.
Oh, let's do.
Yeah, let's get lost in the maze. Or no, actually, I think I'd like to stand up there and just laugh at you when you get lost in the maze and you can't get past, because you go into a maze and here's our maze, and you go in the maze and like I can see your feet, so this isn't a maze and I could get out of here in 2 seconds. You can get lost in that maze. That is a fabulous maze. Well, also in Oxfordshire, we're going up, well, actually it's not Oxfordshire, it's actually Gloucestershire. We're going to be up in Kiftsgate, which is
Yeah. Have you seen that one then?
a big, yes, I have.
Have you seen all of them, or did you just
No,
pick some on merit?
the ones in Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire I have seen. I've seen the Feydeau, and in Wales where we're going, I have not been. This is the exciting part. I have not been to the Courts or Iford Manor in Bath, which is
Ooh.
near Bath. And so,
Okay.
and these are two very good gardens. They've got very, very good reputations, and I'm super excited to see those two. But yes, everything else on the trip I have seen and enjoyed and loved.
Tell us a little bit about Kiftsgate. I'm reading about a rose, a famous rose, a climber.
Kiftsgate Rose, yes, it's a climber and it's on the incredible house there. This is a garden that has been done through three generations of women gardeners. And it's a very, very cool, old-fashioned, traditional garden with several new modern installations. So it has this very cool half moon pond that you'll probably recognize when you go down this treacherous hill and go to it, that looks out over the countryside. It has your normal borders and the roses, et cetera, but then they took the old tennis court and they created a reflecting pond and full boundaries with hedging. And then if you go beyond that, there's yet another new modern sort of long, it's not an arcade, but it's a long old alley it's just very cool because it shows how a garden changes through time. It respects the traditional garden and then it contrasts it with newer ideas. And I really appreciate that, all through the same family.
That is
And
very cool.
that's very, very cool. They have a little tea shop and a place there, and it's going to be a cool garden to see. Yes. And Water Perry also. No, you haven't been to Water Perry, have you?
I've spent a full day at Water Perry. No, but that was Water Perry Farms here in Earliesville, Virginia, which I need to take you to next time you're in town. That is a remarkable garden. Not quite as epic as Water Perry Gardens near Oxford, which used to be the school for horticulture for ladies.
Yes, it was a horticultural college by, oh, wait a minute. I want to say Miss Havisham.
No, you're close. Beatrix Havergal.
Havergal, Havergal Hill.
Miss Havisham is, I think that's a Dickensian thing.
It's Great Expectations, which is why,
Yes, Pip and Havisham. Yeah,
it's in my
that's
head.
okay.
I was reading that, over my Belizean vacation,
That's the one that was required.
as one does. No, she had a very wonderful horticultural college there, and the two gardeners that Vita Sackville-West relied upon at Sissinghurst, which is very close to Dixter, and which we visited, right? You
We
and
did. We did. We
together.
were there together. Yeah. Climbed the tower.
Those two gardeners came from Water Perry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Water Perry is now the head gardener is Pat Havers. She is lovely. She has a wonderful picture of herself asleep at 2 or 3 years old in a wheelbarrow during the time of Miss Havers,
Not Havisham.
not Havisham.
Not Havisham. Havergal. Havergal.
Havergal. Havergal. I should know these things. They should be imprinted in my memory. But so she's known that garden all her life, and she's head gardener there. And it's got a fabulous border. It's got orchards. It's got an incredible. It's just got a really wonderful vibe. I really like that garden a lot.
There are fantastic photographs of young ladies flitting around in black and white photographs in the 1950s and 60s, learning all the things from Beatrix and her, well, they in Wikipedia they say her very good friend, but it was obviously her partner because Beatrix, she looked like a man, and she
Yeah, no. Yes, I think absolutely you're right, spot on.
and they were like partners. They built it together. So they met at a school where Beatrix was the head gardener and her buddy Avis, or I don't know how you pronounce that, Avise or CE, was the head housekeeper, which I thought was so romantic.
That's very cool.
It was very cute.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I want to know about Buscott, which you sort of tried to name Coach Cut, but that didn't work out. It was a typo on the itinerary.
Yes, you're so quick to get my mistakes, aren't you,
Well,
Leslie?
I
Yeah.
didn't get that last one that somebody else said, hey, I think it's two nights in Bath and one night in Oxford, or I don't know what. There was some other boo-boo that I didn't catch.
I'm trying to garden, I'm trying to put the trip
I know.
together. I mean, it's difficult over here.
It's
Yes.
so much.
Actually, I had forgotten Buskett Park is another one that I have not been to yet.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so this is another exciting thing for me too, because it's very cool to be able to explore a garden and do so with other people seeing it for the first time. Because I'm not going to be, the other gardens, I'll be telling you, this is what you
Go
need to know.
here,
Go
go
here,
there.
go here.
Yeah.
But this one is, let's explore together. And
So
that's
how
my
did it make the cut? That's what I want to know. How did you come across it and say, did you just drop a pin or did you do research? Because we're paying a lot for this trip and I hope you did some
Yeah,
research.
I just sort of went, well, what's there? Let me, where's that
Whatever.
yellow book? Let me see. No, these Iford, Quartz, and Buskett, all three of them had been heartily recommended by colleagues in Garden Media Guild, which I'm a part of, which is the British Garden Media Guild. I'm a
Where you
member
got that
of,
award, where you got
well,
nominated for that
no, where I got
award,
nominated. I
which
got
was like a
nominated. It
win.
was
It's like,
stolen from me by Matt Collings. He's
man, that
lucky I
guy,
still speak
he's
to him.
so low.
He's
I
actually
knew
coming
it.
out to Virginia next week,
Oh,
and
really?
well, yes, he is. But they have tight. Well, this is a long story. But I'm actually going to end up seeing him back in London because his schedule here is just insane. Matt Collings, yes, Matt, you stole it from me and four other people, including Rachel DeTemps. So I hope you feel good about yourself.
I think it's kind of like being nominated for Oscar. Winning is great, but that's kind of, I mean, you got nominated, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I sat there watching in this room in the Savoy. Did I just say that? The
Yeah, you
Savoy.
did.
The Savoy. And looking at all these lovely people and the screen and thought, this is the best thing ever. And I don't give a damn if I win or not. This is just fabulous. And I truly feel that way. Whereas, when you say, oh, I don't care if I win or not, you think, yeah, sure. Sure, you don't care. Now, that's not to say that I'm not going to, make fun of Matt mercilessly forever
For winning instead of you.
for winning and snatching it. I mean, it's blatant misogyny, isn't it? I mean, there were fought four or five women up for this award and Matt. I mean, you do the math.
Yeah, I All right, back to the gardens. How did you choose the gardens?
Take it all back, Matt. Please, have lunch with me when I come back to London. How did I choose the garden? Because these were very much, oh, you've really got to see this garden. There's so many fantastic gardens in the UK. I mean, truly so many. And if you just go with, okay, what everybody's saying, yes, and that's, Rousham, Kiftsgate, Hidcote, Waterbury, that sort of thing. But then you want to find out, okay, what do your friends say? You got to see this one. That's the Quartz, that's Iford Manor, that's Buskett Park. And so hopefully it all pans out. And if it doesn't, there's always PIMS.
There's always the PIMS. By the way, the EDDW.
Yes, let's talk about Anne and the Vedu and Charles.
Yeah, so this is Anne Wareham, who also is a rancher. She writes for Garden Rant. And this is their personal, she and her husband Charles, who are pals of Marianne, do this garden in Wales, and it's one of the 100 best in the UK, even though, I mean, they probably have some help, but it's them principally, right?
They do. They have Angus who comes in once a week, I
Oh,
think.
geez.
But they built this garden. Angus is it wasn't building it in the beginning. They did this themselves, and I really have a lot of admiration for that because they did very much what we are trying to do here, which is beat back the woodland and create. Well, I say woodland, I mean invasive understory when I say woodland.
Yeah.
And create something that's, worth seeing. And they have created a really interesting garden, a thinking garden, which is it's worth seeing. And it's down in this valley. And Anne is such an interesting woman. And so is Charles. Charles is a photographer. Anne is a writer.
He's not an interesting woman.
No, he's not. No,
No, but
he's not.
that's quibbling. Sorry.
No, no, he's not. But Anne is one of the most honest garden writers I've ever met. And I really respect that. Her book, The Bad-Tempered Gardener, which sounds like a title for, oh, you know, the grumpy gardener or the whatever that we have nowadays, is truly one of the best books to read and just enjoy the heck out of it. It's so honest. It's honest about the industry. It's honest about gardening. It's honest about, oh, design, experts. It's a behind the scenes, and I heartily recommend it.
And so it's a big, long rant. May I ask if this book was the reason that she got asked to join your merry group of grumblers?
Part of it, yeah. And she ran a site called Thinking Gardens in the UK, which started out with the RHS, and it, you know, just bringing on thought. And I think she had asked to feature one of my posts about, I think it was about inclusive biodiversity. It was about the native, non-native debate. And that's how she came on my radar. And then I was, wow, you've got a lot of incredible writers on here. And these are some interesting things to think about. And then I read that. I haven't read Outwitting Squirrels yet, but The Bad-Tempered Gardener, if you want to go a little deeper in the garden world without being dry at all, go there. You know, and I'm sure it's not in print anymore. It's just going to be a used copy, but it's going to be the best $6 you ever spend. I don't know what it would cost now on Amazon, but it's a good book. So she's going to come down. She and Charles are going to come down, have lunch or have dinner with us in Bath the night before. And then the next one, talk about garden building for amateurs, because this is one of her very great missions, is to make amateur gardeners realize that yes, you can do it. It doesn't have to all be about designer, designer, designer. And then we're going to go up and see the garden the next day. And she's very, very close to Tintern Abbey. So we're going to have lunch there at a pub that's very close to Tintern Abbey that looks out on it and on the River Wye there. So.
Yeah, the two things that I'm really excited that are not really gardeny things that I really want to do are Stonehenge and Tintern Abbey. I'm very excited.
Have you never been to Stonehenge?
Never have.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, technically, that's true for me too, because I have stolen Stonehenge from the motorway for 25, 30 years, I think, the A303.
You just pull up and
I
go on your
do.
man.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, because the A303 runs across Salisbury Plain and back towards London if you're in the West Country. And you can honestly see it from the motorway. And in the old days, you could just pull off on a farmer's field and have the best view ever. And we were poor students, so we didn't pay our pennies. But this time, I'm going to actually walk in and stand next to those huge, huge.
But can you stand next to them now? I thought they gave them a
Well,
little bit of space.
okay, yeah, they do give them a bit of space. The druids get to have them during the
Yeah,
solstice, but we
right.
have to be back a little bit. We can't wander like it was in the 1970s. But I'm going to be a lot closer than I was on the A303, let me tell you. Looking through the chain link fence.
All right, so what is going on in your garden right now, and what more besides training Michael do you need to do to get ready to go on this? What did you say it was 2.5 weeks? Lord.
Yes, it's a lot, isn't it? Oh, I'm starting to panic. I wish you hadn't said that.
Yeah, let's just make you think about this. Like, are you sure you want to go on this trip?
and you know, and ironically, I've got all my writing deadlines sorted.
Oh, good.
So it's really the garden that's sort of in the back. And I did walk into the greenhouse today, and I started to have that panicky feeling. And then I stopped myself and I said, "You know what, Marianne?" And I did. I said it out loud because, you know, I'm over 50 now, so I can say things out loud and it's okay. You always feel this way and it always works out. So let's just see how it works out this year. And I was okay the rest of the day
Good, you got
once
this.
I said that. But what do I need to do? The most important thing is the seedlings. I've got zinnia and I've got Malabar spinach, and I've got some euphorbia, and I've got some salvia, and I've got all these seedlings. And I say seedlings, they're getting quite big. They've got to go into the garden, and they've got to go in tomorrow so that I can sort of, you know, give them a little bit of 4 or 5 days of water.
And then they should be
And
good.
that has to happen because they won't survive. I think they should be good, actually. Yeah. A lot of them are dry lovers, and so it's not that I want to put them in dry soil. The best thing, of course, would be to wait for a rainstorm and then put them in so that the dry soil didn't wick the moisture right out of them. But so that's one of the things I have to do. The house plants, the house plant vacation that happens every year around here, is they're going to have to wait, and they're going to have to go out at the end of May. And that's just going to have to be the way it is.
Now, is it because they don't need quite as much water inside as they do outside?
Yeah, it's just a little bit. It's going to be a little cooler, and I mean, I could put them outside, but then they're definitely going to need just at least one or two extra waterings that I don't want to stress Michael out. I mean, as much as he's doing, he doesn't need to do more. So they'll be fine inside. They'll be fine. Now, wait a minute. You're asking me all these questions. It's like an interrogation. What are you going to do when you leave
So
your garden?
I'm leaving my garden for 4 weeks
What?
because,
You didn't tell me about that.
well, I sort of was in denial about it. When I'm leaving on Sunday and I'm back on Wednesday, I'm going down to speak to the Horticultural Society. That will have been done by the time people listen to this. But then I leave on like the, oh, what is it, the 19th, and then I get to you to go up to Greenwich to fly out of UK and to fly out of JFK to the UK. Then you guys for a while, and then I get back to JFK. So much cheaper using JFK from apartment than it is using Dulles from Charlottesville. Oh my God. So
Wait a
then I
minute,
take it.
JFK, New York JFK?
Yeah, New York, because now I live in Greenwich too. Of course, I haven't spent the night there yet because
Oh.
we don't have any running water yet, but we will in a few weeks. And so starting on the 19th, I come to you, I get home on the, what is that then, the 30th or something? I don't know
Yep,
when that trip
30th.
ends. Okay. Then I don't go back to Charlottesville. I just meet Jeff at our apartment in Greenwich, stay there, and then go on a lovely trip with my daughter, her husband, and their two children to Italy and France.
Gosh. Oh, wait, sorry. I need a moment.
I didn't go to Belize though. I did not go to Belize. I'll be doing my stuff with the kids, which I'm very excited about. I mean, they're growing up fast. So one of Mateo's brothers is getting married. It's a long story, but I will need to not only train Jeff to water while I'm gone, but train the girls who work for the business that I sold, who work down the street at one of my best clients who Abby now takes. And I'm going to be like, Lydia, come this way. Let me show you what to do. And here's the key. Because you have to go in the house to get to this balcony to water all these crazy
All
plants I
right,
have.
now you do realize that like half of your listener base just tuned out. You know, they
But
just said, all right, whatever.
it's a family wedding. It's a family wedding.
A family wedding initially.
It's some silly castle, but it's a totally JV castle.
My God.
It's like
Listeners, please, I'm here for you. If you want to talk to me, I understand where you're coming from. I've lived it. I know it. I don't sleep when I go across the Atlantic. I'm in economy, premium economy if I can get it. I'm ramrod
I'm going
straight.
economy. I'm doing this thing. When I meet you, I'm doing this
Yes.
thing that I think is a really good idea. You fly cheap. You sit up the whole way. You fly during the day.
I hope you enjoy it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have a good time. Huh. Then I go to a cheap airport hotel. I drink a gallon of wine. I go to sleep for 8 hours in a real
You
bed.
hope.
And then I meet you and Andrea at Heathrow because I haven't even left the campus. I think it's a
Oh
great
my
idea.
gosh, this is actually going to be the best. Now that I know you're not flying first class to this trip, this is going to be terrific. I'm just going to poke you all the time. You go,
Are you awake?
Leslie,
Are
you're
you
falling
awake?
asleep. Are you
Are you
awake?
awake?
Want some more
You
wine?
old lady, you. All right, enough. That's not gardening. That's not gardening.
Sorry.
I want to know, okay, name three good things that are blooming in your garden right now.
Oh, yes, I will. The iris that I have moved from the house that Emma was born in. Because, yes, Leslie, you know I had a home birth. Of course I did. yes. Emma was
Oh.
literally born in that house. And I have an iris that was so beautiful,
Hospitals
Easter
are
egg.
a thing, you know. Hospitals
I
work
know.
out for most.
I
Okay,
know they're
let's move
good.
on. I
Okay.
go back to the irises quickly before I pass out.
Okay. Huge, huge head. She had a
Bearded?
huge head. No, I'm sorry. Huge
Ow, ow. Did they do a
huge
cesiotomy? Oh, forget it.
Huge bearded iris, absolutely Easter egg yellow. And I have moved it from house to house, and it still reminds me of, well, it reminds me of harder times and
Births.
difficult births and all sorts of things. And it's blooming right now, and it's
Aww.
fabulous. And what else is blooming? Peonies, the seedling peonies that I have so many of that are singles that have come on from peonies that I had previously, and those are blooming right now. They look absolutely fantastic. And can I just talk about what's budding?
Buds are good. Buds are full of promise.
So the buff beauty rose and the gardenia rose are just about to go, and I'm praying that we actually have a hot weekend so that they
So
do
you can
go, because
see
I
them
do want to
before
see
you
them. Yeah.
go. All right, ask me. Ask me. Wait.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Leslie, I'm so interested. What is booming in your garden?
It's fascinating. I'm so amazed you asked. So I've inherited all these plants. I showed you the picture of the crazy, I think I'm hopeful because I have so few native plants, native azaleas on the hillside, kind of tree azaleas, slime azaleas. So those are cool, but they're going over. Then I have two roses and I'm like, oh God, I just know these are going to be red and orange. And I was right. One of them's red. I am just, listeners, you know me well enough to know that I am not of the colorful gardener. I like my pinks and grays and blues. And so this, here we go, and whites.
She
And
does.
yeah, it's so boring. But I have this deep ruby red, beautiful climber that's blooming gangbusters. And then I have one that's actually kind of worth talking about. I mentioned it on last week's podcast. I think it's called Joseph's Coat, and it blooms kind of yellowy, and then it goes kind of pinky, and then it kind of ends up red. Do you know that rose
I do. I don't
climber?
grow it, but yes, I do
Yeah,
know it.
I
Yeah.
don't recommend it. It looks like something that a gas station would have climbing up. I don't, it's just awful,
Oh,
but it's wonderful too.
you're
Yeah,
such a snob. So, are you
I
going to
know.
take it out?
Not anytime soon. I'm gonna enjoy it, and I'm living in these colors that I would never have chosen, and I'm also putting in a lot of white things. Oh, one more thing. Do you grow, and I don't know how to pronounce it, Siline, Silene,
Silini. Silini.
Silene.
Yes, I
Love
grow
that
Silini
plant.
Diocia, and I grow it because it grows wild along the hills, sort of the moor, where a friend has a house in Cornwall. And I grow it because of just to remind me of that. Yeah.
Oh, I love that plant. I love that plant. And it was the thing that I'm like, oh, I should take a little piece of this as I'm moving. And I'm like, I accidentally took what appears to be a 3 foot square hunk. It's huge.
Like I did with your hellebore.
Yeah, you did that. Yeah, I'm really happy with it. But I interrupted you. You were going to name one more thing that's looking good. Can you remember your 51-year-old brain or whatever it is? Can it remember?
I wish I was 51. No, moved on a year or two from that. Let's see. Yes, I can. Here's an interesting thing. It's not about what is blooming. It's about the promise and potential. And that, no, I'm not just trying to obfuscate and pretend it's nice when it's not. It's about the potential of what's going on out there and the foliage colors. So I've got an Arundodonax, which is peppermint stick,
Oh yeah, that one's so cool with the white and the green.
yeah. And because one of the serpentine bed is so deep, it's probably 20 feet deep, which seems amazing, but it really is, and it's on hills. There's these layers. So you see the Arundo, and then you see the green of the verbascum starting to come up, which is just, I think it's just verbascum thapsus, but these big felty leaves, that green, that white, and then behind is, I want to say flamingo. It's a Salix flamingo, which is a white and green, and it becomes a little bit pink later.
Wait, a Salix, like a weeping
A
willow
willow,
woody?
like
Yeah.
not a weeping willow, but it's a
A
willow,
willow.
and it is a
Shrubby or tree-y?
shrubby, and
Okay.
it's a variegated, and it's really variegated with white, green, and pink. A little bit of pink. Right now, it's all about the white and the green, and that Arundodonax ahead of it, in front of it. And so I'm really overwhelmed by foliage right now in this very good way. In this, oh, this is very cool.
Back to the Arundodonax, but with listeners, which is a very tall grass. Will it eclipse the
It's
Salix?
a reed,
Oh, it's a
actually.
reed? Okay.
Oh yeah, it will. But that's the wonderful thing about these deeper borders is that that's later. Later,
Okay.
I'll only see the Salix if I walk around the other side, but now I can see both.
Oh,
I
cool.
can see the lower growing Arundo coming up, and I can see through. It's like looking through keyholes right now.
Nice.
Later, it's going to take on a completely different look where you've got very, very tall Arundo, and next to it, I've got a Physocarpus, I think Diablo, or no, ginger wine. I've got ginger wine next to it, against it. And so, I mean, this is the fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's also the heartache. You're trying to create art. You're trying to create something that is very natural and wonderful, but you're also at the mercy of the season, the heat, the vacation, the whatever. And so it's not like you just painted a canvas and then you walked away and then you came back a week later and you painted a bit more. It's a living piece of art. And that's both the difficulty and the joy, the excitement.
So exciting. So
That's where I am
exciting.
right now. Yeah.
All right. I like where you are. And where I'm going to be in a moment is upstairs eating dinner.
I'm not. I'm about to walk out, go look at that Arundo, go look at that Salix, and
Going to take that bucket of wine with you?
well, there's not much left. As I'm sure listeners have cottoned on to listening to me, but yes, there's not a lot left. Yeah, I'm gonna enjoy it because truly the last what 2 hours?
The golden
The
hours.
golden hours. Enjoy those. Enjoy
Yeah.
those. Those are the best.
All right, girl. Well, thanks for another good convo.
You are welcome. And again, listeners, I'm here if you need to talk about, the nonsense that Leslie's doing. 4 weeks, really? I mean, I was feeling guilty about
Vapid.
3, but come on.
Okay, no excuse, sir. That's what they used to tell my son to say at the Naval Academy.
Marianne at
Oh,
mariannewilburn.com. Send me anything you want to just anything you want to say. I'm here for you.
right, goodbye, you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Well, that girl gave me such a hard time about my travel schedule, but here's my defense. There are only two trips for me this summer, but they just happen to come one right after the other. So there, Marianne. And at this time, I'm really hustling around trying to figure out how to make things good before I go away. The daffodil and tulip foliage is still depressingly upright, so there's nothing I really want to do about that. I've seen a few properties in my new neighborhood that employ that rubber band method of daffodil foliage treatment. A friend taught it to me years ago when I was in my 20s, so many years ago. And I did it for a while until I realized, or I probably read, or somebody wiser than I pointed it out, that when you're bending the leaves like that, or braiding it like some people do or did, you're actually cutting off the conduits, called the phloem, to be specific, and therefore doubling the bad news on suffering through what my friend Scott Berline calls the big, dumb, dramatic, B-grade, silent movie death of daffodil foliage. It's not very attractive. And it's doubly bad because if you do the braidy or rubber bandy thing, the foliage is still in your garden, probably no longer bringing joy unless you like bent foliage with rubber bands. And yet the only reason to keep it around has been compromised because you've cut off the reason to keep it around. So you might as well just cut it off and be done with it. I will avoid the death throes of my foliage this year, and my husband and various golf buddies that are coming to visit him, they probably won't be wringing their hands about it. Actually, it's going to be totally unnoticed by them, so that's fine. What else have I done to get ready? I have moved all my pots that were under cover of a terrace to go out to be under bushes and shrubs. So that way they get some shade and they get the drip of rain, but they won't be totally reliant on people to water them like I like to do when I'm here. I'll be training both my husband and a couple of gardeners from my old business to pick up the slack while I'm gone.
a few of the containers absolutely have to stay undercover because they're just too bloody heavy to move, but most of them are out and about looking odd under azaleas and such. I did mark the ones, and if you have to leave your watering to somebody else, you know, it's amazing how intuitive you become very quickly about how to do this. And if you're just like, you know, get the neighborhood kid or somebody who's not a gardener, you got to keep in mind that they might not know what to do. I do have a few containers that have no drainage, which means I know that those just get a sprinkle every once in a while and I stick my finger in to see what's what. But they don't know which ones don't have drainage, so I've marked them with painter's tape, actually. And what else have I been doing? I just have a few indoor plants left, and I'm going to just really soak the heck out of them and then get them out of the sunlight, and they'll be like, oh, really, we kind of actually like sunlight for a while, and we're not having it, but at least we're not drying out, and we will live until you get home. And then I would say the last thing I'm doing, or not doing, is having a good weed. I don't think I've left myself time to do that, so I'm going to have a really, really good weed when I get home, and I'm looking forward to that. And what might you be doing in your garden right now? You might be doing your containers, and that might be really fun. You can get some cute annuals and you can do the thriller spiller filler or just have fun with what other colors you want. Keep in mind that if you're exposing small plants with roots out in the sun and wind, they're going to get unhappy pretty fast. So you might want to choose a cool or cloudy day for that, or just know what you're doing and just, you know, get it done quickly and then water them. I don't know your style of planting containers. Some people like to just fill them up immediately, which is actually what I like to do. But I did see some in front of a storefront near Rehoboth Beach in a town called Lewis. So cute, these urns. They were like 10 inches across and a 2 to 3 inch across lantana in each one. Now, you know, and I know that that's going to be a perfect plant there. It's going to just be baking in the sun and it's going to cover up that whole thing probably in about 6 weeks. But in the meantime, it looked like somebody had just put a little plastic ping pong ball in the middle of these pots. It was ludicrous. I'm not that patient. Whether you're patient or not, keep in mind that mulching your containers is not a bad idea. It can really save you some time on watering. And if you can see the mulch, you might want to use, you know, the conventionally attractive double shredded hardwood bark mulch or gravel, or even, you know, go for something really luxury like those cocoa chips. Those are really cool. But if nobody can see the mulch that you're putting in because you've planted it with enough plants, you might want to just grab handfuls of stuff from your compost pile, you know, sticks and leaves. And that will serve the same purpose of making it so you don't have to water as much, providing a good layer above the soil so that the soil retains moisture and nobody can see the bits of debris that you're using for mulch. What else in the garden? Your peonies might have come and gone. It's always so quick, but it's always so lovely. And if you deadhead them, you know, that's great. They won't set seed. But if you don't deadhead them, they might set seed. And that might be fun for you because peony seedlings are pretty darn adorable. You can recognize them almost instantly. And you're like, how can something this small be a peony? And then you wait a few years and you get some bloom. So it's kind of a fun process. But you might just deadhead those guys and say, no, I would like all of the energy to get back down to the roots, and I would like my own chunky specimen to get even chunkier. So that's totally up to you. Your soil is probably warm enough to sink divas like dahlias and caladium, who earlier in the season would have been very unhappy with you for exposing them to unkind conditions. They like it warm. And now is a great time to prune your spring blooming shrubs, the ones that have gone over. Enjoy the flowers while you may. You don't have to do it, but if they're a little bit too big for your liking, doing it now or anytime in the next few months, that'll give those plants plenty of time to set buds for next spring. Don't be pruning the things that haven't yet bloomed this season unless you're willing to miss out on this year's flower. And that, you know, and that could be the case if something's just completely overgrown. It's hard to enjoy flowers on shrubs that are so big that they're like covering up your windows, so it looks like you're in some sort of witness protection program. So you got to judge what's best for you. If you're beginning to see nibbles or infestations even on plants that make you sad, and I'm talking about bugs, I'm not talking about deer or bunnies. Those guys are a different story. But before pulling out some bottle of, you know, spray chemical to deal with some bug, remember that your first line of defense could be to wait and see whether nature will correct the course of the first bug. For example, you got an infestation of aphids. Maybe you got some ladybugs coming to you because they know where the party is. But if that doesn't seem to be happening, your second line of defense could simply be a hard spray of water with a hose. Mechanical removal, or discouragement anyway, of bugs is a lot kinder to the earth and a lot easier on your wallet than chemicals are. And after that, well, I have no third line of defense. If a plant of mine were to be set upon by some set of insects and neither of those two things work, I would simply go shopping for a different type of plant. A good and curious gardener would probably figure out exactly what the bug was and what they would do about it and how they would deal with it. But I'm not that kind of gardener. I'm not interested in any of that. And I'm perfectly willing to share my plants with bugs. If decimated, then I would go shopping. If simply shared a little bit, I just don't mind. But it's your garden. You have to do what you have to do. I am not, however, willing to share my plants with bunnies and deer. But I fear this podcast has gone on long enough, so we will talk about those two pests another day. So I'm off to the UK to this fabulous garden tour, and Marianne and I will be chatting about it in the coming weeks to see what we liked and what we didn't. And I bet there's very little to say about what we didn't. I hope we have some good adventures, and I will try to get another podcast to you before I come home. But I'm not promising that. In the meantime, you won't miss me. I hope you're into your garden and enjoying every minute of it. And thank you so much for listening to Into the Garden with Leslie.